The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to get into the NFL draft today with Charles Davis from Fox and the NFL Network. Charles Davis was at the Combine when we last left NFL draft preparations. Guys, the draft is 2 weeks from tonight. So there is something big to look forward to in sports. I've got a little gloom and doom here in a bit from Bill Plaschke that I think is worth discussing. We have a story today that I had sent over to me a short time ago. I'm checking my phone on it just to make sure. So it's Virtual Recruiting 101 that Arizona State has put out. So in this day and age of recruiting, we do a lot of it here on the show. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, hockey, you know, girls volleyball, basketball, whatever, there's guidelines. The Sun Devil Compliance Recruiting 101 tip sheet is now out. And the tip sheet includes that video gaming with a recruit, I'm going to get into that a little bit later, a coach or someone within the ASU football department can video game with a recruit. Now, the advantage of that, forget about running 4-4, we don't care. Forget about, can he catch? The way to connect is, I'm playing you in Call of Duty, or are there games that are off limits because there's language? I don't know. If you have a kid who's really good on the football field and he can't game to save his life, what does that tell you? Because these colleges give out scholarships that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you may have the measurable in height and weight, but if your GPA is not great and gaming's not you and you're into other things, are you really all in on football or not? Is this a metric? I'm not saying I believe that, but is this a metric? The fact that gaming with recruits, we're now at that point in the recruiting process. I texted Jordan. I was hoping he could jump on with us. He's working on some big recruiting news today. So that's where we are on that front. So Charles Davis at 10:20, and then our 2020 vision segment. We've started doing this last week. High school kids who are seniors whose spring is, their school year's over. And I've seen where high schools are turning their lights on like 8:20 at night and leaving them on for those students for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it is, 20 minutes, so that it's a way to honor them. Our way of honoring them is we go find a kid who's a senior and we tell their story. And I've been very happy and pleased with the staff. They've gone out and looked much different space, different lens, I like to tell the staff. And it's not all about how fast you are or how hard you throw or how high you jump or any of that. GPA is what the first metric to me and this staff. And then it's, what are you all about as a person? And today, Sandy has got one. Sandy Charles has her 2020 vision, and that will be at 10:50 this morning. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. I was with Michael Stricker this last week from Sagicor, and we were talking about how things are going. We were playing golf and socially distanced out of Whirlwind, having a good time. And he said, you know, there's people that are really surging forward now looking into this because of what we are facing and where we are, and try to take care of their business, actually have some time to do that. Have you taken care of everything on a personal level? Life insurance is a great way to do that. There's great financial ramifications on that side that can help you and your family out. If you weren't to come home tonight, what would they do? It's that simple. Log on to Sagicor now, get your free quote. That is with Sagicor. Eric jumps on in. He is in his palatial estate. Are you Paradise Valley or Scottsdale? Are you PV or Scottsdale?
I'm North Phoenix. So I'm
North Phoenix.
I'm around 44th Street and Bell around.
Stalkers are going to show up now. You know.
Well, I don't want to give away all the house secrets, but I'm in the North Valley. Let's keep it that.
You're in the North Valley.
I'm about 5 hours from your house. So.
No, that's right. I can see Guadalajara from here. That's,
you can.
It's just, that's where it is. This time of day, Austin, Texas looks great.
We're on the outskirts of Albuquerque, as I like to say.
The Southeast Valley is a long ways from you. All right, so Bill Plaschke wrote, and I love Bill. Do you like Bill? Do you watch Bill much or Bill? Or I think Bill is one. He's so talented and so terrific. And last night he dropped a column, and I don't mind, you know, taking an idea and turning it into this show. A lot of guys do that, and they don't credit the people. They're just like, yeah, I came up with it. Well, no, you didn't. So Plaschke wrote yesterday that the sports world looks like it's done in 2020. And so his theory and his belief on this, not theory, his belief is that we're going to start running into problems with next year if we try to force in this year. That next year's product, let's just say the NBA. So if the NBA runs through Labor Day, how much time off are you giving players? If you say then, that if you're the NBA and you come back and say, we're actually going to start our season on Christmas Day, as many have been saying they need to do. And I believe in that. Are you on that?
I do, because that's a landmark date for the NBA. That's when I'm sure the NBA outside the playoffs gets probably some of their highest views, because it's sort of, I don't want to say a tradition for a lot of families, but I know after you open the gifts and before you're ready to pound down some food, you're in the living room with your family and you turn on the TV. And if you want live sports, the NBA is pretty much your only option. There are occasionally some NFL games, but usually it's just the NBA.
Yeah. So his point is the NFL can make all the headlines with free agency and a virtual draft, but none of these players are probably going to be allowed to hit the field until sometime in late fall. College coaches can spout all they want about their kids being tougher than any old virus, but they aren't, using a line from Bill. He referred to Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy's quote, the head coach at Oklahoma State. And Mike Gundy, would you say he's a little off? He's a little much or no?
He's outspoken.
Yeah. But so Mike Gundy, his quote was, from what I read, the healthy people can fight this. We all need to go back to work. So that's a little tone deaf where we are right now. And it feels like there's a little bit more of that going on. Oh, this is just hurting out. Like, really? That's the mentality that you have, is somebody's life doesn't matter? It's not everybody who is with underlying health issues in their 80s that are passing away here. These are nurses in their 20s and 30s that are dropping. They're trying to help out. So I think his point is press reset on the whole year. I have wanted baseball to come back. I was very adamant about it earlier in the week. You had a different view yesterday than you had the day before. I think all of us, as we're processing this, it's okay to change a belief. Would you be okay if sports just, if they all came out and said, we're done?
Would I be okay with it? No.
Yeah.
No. Because I still think we're at a point, Brad, we're not even mid-April. So let's just kind of wait and see. And I would say, as for Mike Gundy, any head coach with the first name of Mike, whether that be Mike Leach or Mike Gundy, just stay off Twitter and stay away from microphones. So
Mike Stoops?
Well, Mike Stoops is fine, but Mike Leach and Mike Gundy, don't do it. It's not
Mike
worth
Price?
It.
Mike Price?
Yeah, I don't know what Mike Price is doing now. But
Roll Tide?
You're clearly not listening to what I'm saying, so continue with your monologue. So,
huh? What? No. In all seriousness, I feel like football is gonna have the hardest time returning. Basketball is right there with them. That we might just be watching a lot of golf, because, and I think Bill's premise here is correct, that you cannot get this thing started and then stop it. And you don't want to injure players by saying, okay, you're going to play through September and you have to be back and ready to go by December, because you're going to have training camp like December 1st. They're going to have very little off season. And for people say, well, they get paid all this money. I've said I've used the money card for baseball. The June 1st, they're going to start missing checks. The NBA announced this morning, according to Woj, that they are going to pay the players for April 15th. They will get their checks.
But do you think, Brad, because the NBA is not playing now, And most of these guys are not going through the grind of the end of the regular season, and for some, the playoffs. Do you think the NBA can just say, look, you stopped playing in mid-March, and you didn't come back for a while, so suck it up?
Well, you could say that, sure, but they've got to go back in shape. You don't want to use your most valuable assets and put them out there. I'll use you as an example. I would not ask you to go get on a plane right now. And I wouldn't ask any of our employees to go get on a plane right now. But I also wouldn't tell you just go get lost for 3 months and then come back and expect you to be ready to go. You got to ramp up. If you're really good at what you do and you're really good at what you do, you have to ramp up. And that's how it works in sports. I think that's how it works in business. And the idea of, like, all of us just suddenly going back to work and suddenly going back as society, and this is a deeper dive, I just think it's going to take time. There's going to be people that are processing what we're going through saying, is this really that important to me anymore? Should I maybe be doing something else?
And if you're irritated with NBA stars taking games off for rest, just wait until they come around with this potential shortened season and shortened off season. Like, Giannis is going to play, you know, he's going to play a game, then he's going to rest for two, and then he's going to play two, and then he's going to rest for two. Outside, I mean, LeBron's not going to sit, but I can already see, like, this big firestorm of, like, oh, the stars aren't playing. Why? Well, we need our rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Load management. So.
Load management, yes.
We have Charles Davis on the other side on the NFL draft. Look forward to visiting with the NFL Network and, of course, with Fox, NFL Fox. Charles Davis draft is 2 weeks from today. That's next. Right, let's turn our attention now to the draft. It is right around the corner, and there's been a lot of buzz, not only with the Arizona Cardinals, but also with Arizona State. Brandon Ayuk just blowing up the boards, and Eno Benjamin, too, to fill us in. It's always good to have Charles Davis from NFL on Fox and the NFL Network. First and foremost, thanks for coming back on the show, Charles. Are you safe? How are you handling all of this?
Thanks for having me, and thanks for asking. So far, me and my family all safe and healthy. We hope that continues, obviously, and hope the same for you and yours and for everyone who can hear our voices. I know it's not a great time for everyone, but hopefully everyone will come through okay.
How do you think this is, as we get to football, how do you think all this is going to impact the draft with the facilities being shut down? Is this the draft that 4 years from now, if we look at a redraft and say, boy, there are a lot of hits and misses, as there usually is, but will there be more so this year? Just a general overview from your thoughts on the draft, Charles.
I really think the teams that do their job daily, you know, the ones that are prepared, everybody goes to work, have been watching these kids for 2, 3, 4 years, depending how long they were in school, they're going to be fine. And what I mean by that is, yeah, we're going to have our hits and misses, but we have those all the time anyway. Right. The medical stuff, maybe not able to vet that as much as they have in the past. That could be a little bit of an issue for people as they go along. So that could be, you know, something that happens and we have to stay locked in on. But all in all, again, those that have put the time in, scouted the kids all the way through, have their reports, have their game tape, you're going to be taking the same calculated guessing that you do with everyone else that you have to do, that you have to go along and do. I just don't understand the teams that are having so much angst over, oh, my God, I'm not getting a chance to do this and this and this. Well, no one is. Right. I've been right, so right, relaxed right, right. on the whole thing. So my bottom line has been very simply, I think that teams that are good at what they do, okay, and, you know, that has to be determined by however people. But what I mean is, over years, if we've watched them and they've consistently been good at this, and they're led by general manager, player personnel director, scouts, as opposed to coaches, I think they have a little bit of an advantage. Because you and I both know, coaches, they can't get involved in the scouting and watching these kids in any type of earnest until their season is over. So the earliest for them is January. Mm-hmm. All right? If you're in the playoffs and deeper, it's beyond that. So a team like Cincinnati, which really relies heavily on their coaches because they don't have a huge scouting department, in most normal in a year like this, I would be a little bit worried for them. Fortunately, they caught a break. They coached the Senior Bowl. Yeah. That helps them immeasurably in getting ahead and doing some things. This had been a year where they hadn't coached the Senior Bowl, and the coaches were getting involved now. They would have almost nothing in front of them. Because don't let people fool you when they tell you during the, you know, when you hear during the year, well, you know, I watched this kid. I saw him play on a Saturday night. You saw him play 15 plays on a Saturday night because you're getting ready for your game. Coaches aren't watching full games and filing reports during that time. So that's my long-winded thought process on how this draft is going to go.
Charles Davis, NFL Network, NFL on Fox, with us for a couple of minutes. Let's flip around what is going on and not being able to go out and have players do their pro days or players coming to their facility. I'll give you an example, Charles. We had Brian Lewerke on, the quarterback from Michigan State, local kid. All he's doing is sitting in his dorm room at Michigan State and Skyping in and doing interviews with coaches. That's it. I think a kid like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think a kid like that is hurt by this because he cannot go sell himself to teams in person. He cannot walk up to a board and do things unless they're asking him to do that over Skype. Quick thought on players maybe being hurt by this in the later rounds.
Yeah, potentially. If you end up with a tiebreaker situation and people have had a chance to spend time in person with one versus the other, you might have that. But what it comes back to for most of this is, what did you put on tape during your career? When they turn on the tape and they watch Brian Lewerke play, what do they see? Yeah, they want to find out who he is and have the face-to-face interviews. And you get a decent sense of that during the Skype and everything else. Nothing beats you and me getting in person, right? I mean, there's nothing will ever beat that. But you can get a broad sense of a guy. And look, they're doing their homework, too. They're calling people. They're talking behind the scenes. Hey, well, you know, you've had this kid. What'd you think of him? Hey, I talked to his high school coach. You know, right. You'll get a decent amount of that. But for the most part, it's going to come back to, what did you put on tape? And for those who don't, you know, let's say, I'm not using Brian as an example. Let's use another example. A kid went to the combine and he's a little worried about his long speed, right? So what you do is you hide it, meaning you don't run at the combine. You run on your pro day. Why do you do it that way versus the other? Seems it would be the same, right? Well, it's not, because the combine number lingers forever. The pro day number, for whatever reason, is like a 24-hour story. And it kind of goes away on you.
That's smart.
A lot of them don't want to do that sort of a thing. And now those who didn't run at the combine and there's no time on them, those guys might be hurt a little bit, because there are a number of teams that really don't want to consider a guy unless they absolutely know how fast they think he is.
Before we get you out of here, we're talking with Charles Davis, NFL on Fox and NFL Network, the draft just around the corner. Arizona State, two players. One of them in particular, Brandon Ayuk, is getting a lot of buzz and a lot of belief in him as a high pick, first round type, late first round. What do you see out of Brandon Ayuk, the former Sun Devil receiver?
I love him. I think he's just Mr. Big Play waiting to happen every time the ball snaps, whether it's running routes, whether it's returning kicks. Every time the ball goes in his direction, there's a potential for a big play. In my, you know, for whatever it's worth, my rating scale, I have him rated as a better prospect than N'Keal Harry coming out last year, who ended up going at the bottom of the first round. Wouldn't surprise me at all with Brandon Ayuk that we start talking about him, let's say in the 20s of the first round, because I think there's going to be a decent run on receivers, and I think he's going to be one of the ones that will go.
And Eno Benjamin, what do you see in Eno's space for draft day?
Oh, he's one of those guys. My former colleague, Mike Mayock, is now the GM of the Raiders. He always had that little term that we used to joke about all the time. Quicker than fast. Because when you watch Eno, that's what he is. He is quick, great cuts, whirling dervish, loves the spin moves, things of that nature. I don't know that he's the fastest guy you'll ever see, but more than fast enough and quick enough. I thought he did a nice job for himself, obviously, during his career and during the postseason run-up before everything got shut down. As it goes, you and I both know running backs, people are having a little more of a cautionary tale yet again, because Todd Gurley got the money. That didn't pan out totally after a couple of good years. you know, last year the Cowboys spent a ton of money to bring back, you know, their number one guy, Ezekiel Elliott. They end up not making the playoffs. You get the idea. I think people may be a little more cautious on that. Wouldn't be surprised at all if just one, maybe two running backs go in the first round. Wouldn't surprise me at all if it was just simply one. But then we'll get a run on runners, second, third, fourth round. And, you know, Benjamin will be one of those guys in that wave.
Final question, Arizona Cardinals. And now with the Hopkins trade, looking at wide receivers before that seemed like the natural space. A lot of buzz now about looking at interior linemen on the offensive side to protect Kyler Murray. What do you see for the Cardinals?
Well, sitting where they are right now without people jumping them and, you know, trades and changes, I think they'll have an opportunity to pick one of the top offensive tackles in the draft if they so choose. You know, whether it's Andrew Thomas of Georgia or Tristan Wirfs from Iowa or Mekhi Becton, the massive man from Louisville, or Jedrick Wills from Alabama. One of those four should easily be, maybe even two or three of them could easily be available for the Cardinals to possibly pick. If they wanted to go defensive line, is Derrick Brown from Auburn still available? Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina? One of those two should be available at that point. So if they did decide to go receiver, obviously sitting there, they'll get their first choice of a great crop, because I don't see any receivers going before that number. Maybe Carolina, perhaps at seven, but I doubt it. I think Carolina and Arizona are both teams that could go receiver, but would probably eschew it and go ahead and say, let's go big. We need big people. And for all the right reasons, especially the one you noted, got to take care of Kyler Murray so he can throw that football around.
Always good to hear your voice. Always good to catch up. Stay safe. Thanks for the time as always, Charles.
Hey, you do the same. Please be safe, you and everyone who can hear us, and take care of yourself. Thanks for having me.
There's Charles Davis with us, NFL on Fox and the NFL Network. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right. So we've got a little bit of time here before we get to Sandy and her 2020 vision. And wow, I just turned really white. I'm looking at this game.
Yeah, that is like, who put the spotlight on Brad?
Not me. That is so crazy. It's just, it's working remotely and all this stuff. And so it's just the camera doing its own automatic settings. It's just how it goes. So we'll get, Jared's telling me what to do. Jared, you should just jump on the air with this. It's good for people to see this. I'm fine with this. I was listening to Tom Brady with Howard Stern yesterday. It was the same deal. It was just, everybody's having stuff that happens. It's not that big a deal. Let's see. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Don't even tell me anymore. I'll just work through this. All right. So video gaming with prospects. Now, Eric, when I threw this at you, we wanted to have Jordan on. I understand that. Jordan is working on a pretty big recruiting story today. That's just how it works. And when you talk with kids, high school kids, and they go through recruiting, do you get a sense immediately that this kid really wants to be paid attention to, and other kids are like, yeah, I don't want any part of this? And when you're doing a story on them, like a personal profile, is gaming something that's always part of them?
I don't necessarily ask them a lot about the gaming aspect. In terms of the recruitment, a lot just depends on the player and the player's personality. I know some kids love the recruiting, love the attention, love having the coaches hit them up at all hours of the day and night, or do cool graphics that they pop up on Twitter. Others, it can become overwhelming. I know you've experienced that with several players yourself. And it's just kind of a case-by-case deal.
Dads are the ones that get all caught up in it. Crazy dads is what I call them.
And yeah, because they don't have to go through it. That's the beauty of being a dad. They get to be in it, but they don't have to go through it, if that makes
sense.
They
can tell all their buddies that they're going through it because they didn't go through it in a lot of cases. So this is their time to shine, where kids are just like, yeah, let me do my thing. Which leads me over to this with ASU. So ASU today, it came out, they didn't release it, it's just up online, about what you can and can't do. And I'm reading this, and Jared, you've got the screen of it, so you just want to put it up, it's fine. There's all these rules now that they're trying to put into place with virtual Zoom calls, recruiting correspondence. A lot of it is the same in terms of times, but you've got staff designation people that can jump in at certain times to initiate a Zoom call with a prospect. There's got to be so much illegal stuff going on right now, don't you think?
No question. Yeah, no question. But I will say this, you know, we've talked earlier in the week about people just jumping on random Zoom calls and crashing Zoom conversations. Yeah. I wonder if the NCAA has like some designated Zoom police that are kind of monitoring some of these big schools' activities when it comes to recruiting, because you and I've talked about before, Brad, these coaches are bored. I mean, what are they doing? Like their life this time of year is football, spring football, you know, putting in offenses, scheming in defenses. And right now they don't have any athletes that they can even deal with on their campus, at least.
When Nick Saban getting an email address becomes national news yesterday, you know there's nothing going on.
Easily my favorite story of the day.
No, that is mine too. This one's close though to Nick Saban not having an email, because I can envision like Herm coming in today and Al Luganville coming in today. Those are two guys that are north of 60, right? And coming in saying, who is the best gamer that we have in our entire, not even coaching staff? Do any of you coaches game? Right? Like the young assistant, do any of you guys game? Or is it, hey, that GA over there? Hey, somebody on campus, go find the best gamers, and we want them to be part of football. Because guess what? Now a kid that comes in, you've got a stud player, wide receiver, defensive line, doesn't matter, right? And that kid is known as a gamer. And you go around campus on ASU and you say, who's the best gamer on campus? Well, that dude is, hey, yo, we need you in here for a couple of minutes. Sit down, say hi to so-and-so. Hi, so-and-so. Yeah, this is Eric Sorensen. He runs a 4.3 40. He's thinking about us and Alabama and UCLA. He really is into Call of Duty. Go. And those two sit there. They go back and forth for hours. And they rapport. And they build a relationship. I don't know in this, I got to go back to it. I don't know in this if it says how many hours, let's see, electronic correspondence legislation, playing video games with prospects also have electronic correspondence, written chat feature aspect. So please see the above rules regarding whether a particular staff member may electronically chat with a prospect while playing video games. What, are you supposed to sit there and play the game and not say anything? Right? So I know you're not a gamer. I'm with a 15-year-old who loves the game, who's got all of his buddies when they're done with their homework for 2 hours on headsets, and they're all talking right now. The recruiting aspect of this, I laugh at it. People will make fun of it. It's part of the deal now, because that is what, if a kid isn't playing sports, like Devin Booker has been talking about how all he does is game. So he plays basketball, he works out, he games, rinse, repeat. And so these kids that are coming up now, this is part of the new norm in recruiting. I don't know how it works at the high school level. I don't know if you and I are sitting there out at high schools, because we know recruiting goes in high schools. They'll deny it all day long, but recruiting happens in high schools. Come over to this school. Hey, yo, come over here with me. Is it the same sort of thing? There's illegal workouts going on all over the place right now. And so this is another one with ASU that I think Eric, it's amusing to me. I'm not alarmed by it. It's just catching up with society of, hey, we probably should try to work gaming in on a recruiting now. That's a chat.
It seems ridiculous that we're even talking about this, but recruiting athletes at the highest level is ultra competitive amongst the power programs. And if you have, like you said, a GA or a manager or someone on staff who is a gamer and can connect with that recruit in a way that school B and school C cannot, that could be the difference between you landing the 5-star defensive tackle and not landing him.
It used to be back in the day of come to Arizona State, we have beautiful weather and we have beautiful girls. That's what the recruiting pitch was.
And as well, it should have been.
And then there were the players that would go out, and they would have escorts that would meet them, that would show them around on campus, who happened to be of the female persuasion. Now it's gaming. Just how things are going.
Yep.
Sandy Charles is next. 2020 Vision. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Charles for Sports360AZ.com with another Sandy Says. These are unprecedented times that we are dealing with, so we here at Sports360AZ hope that you're doing well and staying safe. Now, this hasn't just affected one person or just us. This is affecting everybody. And one of those groups that it has affected are senior athletes that play a spring sport. I caught up with Hamilton's outfielder, Michael Bruiser, who's a senior on the baseball team, and I wanted to talk to him about his senior season just being canceled and just taken away from him. So, Michael, thank you for being here and speaking with me today on this Sandy Says.
Yep, glad to be here.
So, first, let's just talk about the cancellation of the season. How are you doing? How are you handling everything that's going on?
I mean, it's rough. It's kind of sucks because the season's getting canceled, but, you know, just you can look at it as a longer off season. You can golf more. You can do all this other fun stuff instead of on baseball, but I mean, it sucks. It's too bad.
How do you use this time? The whole world is on pause. We get to decide how strong mentally and physically we want to come out of this. So how are you doing that at home?
I mean, you just got to look at it as like an extended off season. Just it's more time to get more time in the weight room, more time in the cage, more time, you know, to work on your body to get healthy so you're ready for, you know, when the season and when baseball and all sports come back.
When you got the news that it was canceled, your senior season was canceled, what were your initial thoughts?
I mean, the day it came out was kind of, it wasn't that big of a shock because it was kind of like we knew it was going to come. We knew we were just in denial for the last, you know, that last 2 weeks before he announced it. But I mean, when it officially happened, it was just kind of like a knife in the back, just like you're never going to play high school baseball again.
Aside from the never playing high school baseball again, what's been the biggest, you know, kind of hardest part of this? What would you say?
Just not being able to see the guys every day and just getting that, you know, April, May is usually when we start to really stick together, really stick and like bond as a team, and just not being able to do that for the last year is kind of, it's too bad.
Now, Max Preps has you guys ranked before this all stopped as the number one team in the nation. I did hear that they have deemed you guys now just the number one in the nation for this season. How cool is that? But also, is it just super weird because it just all stopped? So first, let's see, just how cool was that going in before this? You guys were number one in the whole nation.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the past 4 years I've gone to Hamilton, we've been top, I mean, like maybe top five. We've never been, I mean, to be number one is just a whole nother threshold that we've completed. And it's not good that the season ended when it did, but it's kind of cool how we ended number one, and it's just going to stick like that forever.
How much does that sting that chance to defend your title is taken away?
Yeah, it's too bad because, you know, it's a family thing too. I know my brother has three. He won three when he was there. So it was a competition thing where I wanted to catch him and like tie him with three rings. But also the team we had was just, it's too bad we couldn't make a late May run like we are used to doing.
How closely are you in contact with Coach Woods or any of the guys right now?
Yeah, we text, we call, you know, periodically. We actually golfed a couple times. You know, it's a family bond at Hamilton. It's not like you graduate and then you go on to your own thing. All these families are all friends. We all hang out together. It's past high school. It's not just high school.
Now the hometown kid now going to ASU. What do you want ASU fans to know about you?
I'm a competitor. I'll play wherever. I'll do whatever it takes to win. I love Arizona. I love ASU. That's about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Stay safe. And if there's anything that us at Sports360AZ can do for you, please let us know. We are happy to help. And we appreciate Coach Woods and all he's done for us and for me personally always.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Good stuff there with Sandy Charles. Appreciate her work on 2020 Vision. Look, if you have someone that you know, you're the parent of a 2020 kid and it's all coming to an end. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning and his daughter's a 2020 kid and he's upset. She's upset. I think all of us should be disappointed. We remember our senior year of high school, senior year, spring semester, you have ditch day, you have prom, you have graduation, and all that's gone, right? So that's all it is. If an athlete, class of 2020, and that's what we're looking for. And it's cool that other schools have decided to jump on board and leave their lights on for 20 minutes at 8:20 every night. I think that's cool. But there's just ways to give these kids a different feel about it. And hopefully when this is behind us, whether it's in late May, June, that there's some sort of makeup graduations or events that can be held in public places if we are that fortunate. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, great job on his end. Jordan's working on a couple of big stories today on the recruiting side. Sandy is a big part of what we do, as is Devin Henry. They're all working on various projects. We're self-funded, okay? That means as you watch us, the only way we do this is with partners. And the only way those partners exist is if you support them too, especially in this critical time. So when you see the Isagenics and you see the Sagicores and you see the Violunas, and you see the Columbuses and the Venezias and Visit Mesa and just go right down the list of all of our partners, Santan Ford, terrific partner there. Please support them, all right? Everybody's going through a tough time right now. Make it a great day.